don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Then looking in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole arm of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole arm of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Father, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful way that your word teaches and guides us and prepares us for the spiritual warfare of life from one day to the next. Thank you for the ways that as we take time in your word daily, you do mold and shape us and teach us how to be well-equipped warriors. Lord, anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer, that we would be prayerful at every step. Anoint us afresh with the spirit that would encourage us to be believers that are listening to your word and following it. And anoint us afresh with the spirit of bold obedience. Help us to be a people that are committed to hearing your word and boldly obeying it for your glory. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Allow me to once again remind all of you, our listeners, that this is National Truth for Youth Bible Week here at American Family Radio. We're inviting you to help us give away thousands of free Bibles to teens. Remember, one free Truth for Youth Bible will be given to every student between the ages of 13 to 18 who promises to pass it along to a friend. And our goal, of course, is to help get the Word of God back into public schools. If you're wanting to participate in this project, simply go online to truthforyouth.com, and you can order online anytime this week. And the number is 1-800-733-4737. Again, that's 1-800-733-4737. Between the hours of 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central, that is the 800 number, is good between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central. And again, this week, we started Monday. We're going through Friday this week for the free Truth for Youth Bible. Please give us a call. Again, parents, if you have a son or a daughter that's a teen, or teens, you can call in yourself and get a free Bible. And keep in mind, if you happen to be someone, you're not a parent of a teen, but you just would like to get involved, keep in mind you can order large quantities of this same New Testament Bible, which is a full New Testament with the comics, with some very relevant and wonderful teaching messages within those comics, again, for just $2 a piece. So you can order them, and they're wonderful evangelism and discipleship tools. I would challenge every single listener, get involved. And of course, the free Bibles are this week with the project between AFR and Revival Fires International Ministries. But again, this is a tool you can use far beyond the reaches of this week. It's a wonderful tool. I would encourage you to get one, at least to look at it and see how useful it can be. Hope that you'll take time to do that. Once again, you can go online to truthforyouth.com and order online anytime. We are honored and blessed today to have as our phone guest today, Dr. Michael Brown. And Dr. Brown would be very familiar to many of our listeners. He's the host of the nationally syndicated Line of Fire radio broadcast, and he does many, many other things as well. Dr. Brown, thanks for being with us today.
Great to be with you, Joseph. Thanks.
Appreciate you being on with us. And, of course, there are so many different areas of ministry you're involved in, but today specifically our goal is we want to talk about your new book, Jezebel's War with America, The Plot to Destroy Our Country and What We Can Do to Turn the Tide. And so as we start, Dr. Brown, if there's any further words of introduction you'd like to share about yourself and your work, please do. And then we want to get right into discussing why you wrote the book. Again, the title of the book being Jezebel's War with America. Would you go right ahead?
Yeah. Anyone that's followed me over the years knows that my focus is on the Lord much more than on the devil, that I don't talk about the devil all the time. I don't point to demons all the time, but I know that Satan is at work. We know it. The scriptures talk about demonic activity. You read a passage to us from Ephesians 6 about spiritual warfare. And this is the first book. I've written more than 35 now. Jezebel's War with America is the first book where my real focus is to expose what Satan is doing to destroy our nation. And when we talk about Jezebel, we mean the same demonic forces that operated through wicked Queen Jezebel 3,000 years ago, operating again today in undeniable ways, in shocking ways. I mean, quote after quote documented in the book, scripture after scripture documented in the book. And if we do not expose, if we do not see what the evil one is doing, this generation, the next generation, talking about truth for youth, man, we're going to take a massive hit unless we stand and do effective spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Dr. Brown, you know, in order to help people better understand both the message and the premise of the book, if you'll start by sharing, tell our listeners about who Jezebel was in Scripture, the kind of person she was.
Right. So Jezebel is a figure in the Old Testament, and then a woman named Jezebel is mentioned in the New Testament, which is very interesting. So Queen Jezebel lived about 3,000 years ago. She was a pagan princess, so she married the king of Israel. The king of Israel was King Ahab. He was a wicked king, but Scripture says that she incited him to do more evil. She was a zealous worshiper of Baal and Asherah, so she was an idol worshiper. She was a murderer. She literally killed the true prophets. She intimidated by fear. She had the prophets that remained cowering in caves. Even the mighty prophet Elijah at one point fled for his life from her. That's how intimidating she was. We also know that she emasculated men. You can see how she emasculated her husband, Ahab. She's also associated with sexual immorality, and she's associated with sorcery. So you start putting these things together. This is who this woman was in Scripture. And it's clear that her power was not just natural, that she was demonically empowered. Then, 1,000 years later, in the book of Revelation, Jesus references a woman that he calls Jezebel. Now, was that her actual name or the name he gave her? Probably the name he gave her to rebuke her. She called herself a prophetess, so you have this false spirituality again. And then, in addition to that, she was leading church people, God's servants, into sexual immorality and idolatry, just like Queen Jezebel of old. So this is who this woman was in the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I guess as a part of both the message of the book and a part of what you're seeking to do through the message of the book, you see that there's a satanic plot or a demonic force that's trying to both destroy America and the church as well, right?
Yes, sir. And we refer to it as Jezebel. We're not talking about a person. We're not talking about specifically about a woman. We're talking about demonic forces. So here's what happened. And when God moved on me to write the book, it was very intense. It was very supernatural. It came together very quickly. And we're hearing from readers of Jezebel's War with America that they're getting it in the first day, reading the book cover to cover. They can't put it down. So the same way I was gripped, it seemed they're gripped. So let's just connect the dots. Mm-hmm. Jezebel was associated with idolatry. Of course, idolatry, so powerful in America, turning away from the one true God to worship created and earthly things. She's associated with sexual immorality. And we've seen a seductive spirit like we've never had to deal with ever in history through porn and internet, so that even 8-year-old kids are being exposed to it on their cell phones and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Then we know that in the ancient world, when you had idolatry, you had baby sacrifice, babies sacrificed to idols. So here you have the very same thing. You have the radical pro-abortion mentality. We're not talking about a 12-year-old girl who got raped by her uncle and is shocked to find herself pregnant. She's wrestling with what to do. Can she tell her parents? No, we're talking about the shout your abortion, laugh about your abortion, militant spirit. So you have the baby-killing spirit. You have the intimidating the church by fear, the silencing of the prophets, people afraid to speak out for fear of consequences. You have the rise of radical feminism, just like Jezebel. And radical feminism, emasculating men. We have that throughout our culture. The men are just the jerks and the idiots from media, sitcoms, and all this thing. Then you have the rise of witchcraft. Reportedly more witches in America than Presbyterians. And radical feminists saying it's time to get full witch. You have all this going on. And then you have even the war on gender, an extension of radical feminism so that men can't be men, women can't be women, men become women, women become men. You put all this together, you see all these things happening at the same time. If you go back 50 years, we weren't fighting these same battles. Now you look at them together and you realize the same demonic forces, the same Jezebelic spirit that was in operation 3,000 years ago and 2,000 years ago is in operation big time in America today.
You know, you've said so much there, Dr. Brown. I think of this, that in your book, and let me just ask the question, would you say that some of what your book is revealing is both what Jezebel is, what Jezebel is doing, but also you're pointing out things, areas where the church really needs to rise up and begin to boldly address these things. Would that be correct to say?
That would be 100% correct. In other words, we are responsible for our actions, and we get involved politically, and we get involved socially, and we get involved in the culture in various ways. But bottom line, this is a spiritual issue. And bottom line, the effect of Jezebel is felt in particular in the church. That's where the ultimate battle is, mm-hmm. to silence us, to push us back, to bring us into captivity. And it's absolutely imperative, it's absolutely essential that we stand up as God's people, that we recognize the enemy, that we face the intimidation head on, that we don't cower from it, but that we recognize we're in a spiritual battle, and it is a life and death battle, and the church must stand, the church must speak, and above all, the church must pray.
Amen. I want to ask if you'll take a moment specifically to pray for the church in relation to what you just shared.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for awakening. We pray for the opening of hearts and minds. We pray for your children throughout America and elsewhere to recognize the demonic forces at work, to see how sinister and evil they are, and to put a spirit of courage and faith within the hearts of God's people, a spirit of victory and liberation in the hearts of God's people, that we will no longer cower in a corner and hide in caves, but will stand and speak and be bold and overcome fear by faith. Awaken us, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen. Our phone guest today is Dr. Michael Brown. He's the author of the book, Jezebel's War with America, The Plot to Destroy Our Country and What We Can Do to Turn the Tide. We'll be right back after this break.
Save the day, but once again I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away.
Music of Casting Crowns, the song Praise You in the Storm. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Reminding you once again, we're in the midst of our National Truth for Youth Bible Week, and we're encouraging you to get involved by helping American Family Radio and Revival Fires International to help get Bibles back into our nation public schools. Again, one free Truth for Youth Bible will be given to every student between the ages of 13 to 18 who promises to pass it along to a friend in school through this campaign. Simply go online to truthforyouth.com and you can order the free Bible. It started Monday. It ends tomorrow for this specific campaign to get the free Bible. Again, truthforyouth.com, order online anytime, or you can call this number, 1-800-733-4737. Again, that's 1-800-733-4737 between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. on the phone line there, and get the free Bible. Again, to every parent listening, you can order the Bible on behalf of your son or daughter that's a teen, or teens, you can call in and get one as well. And remember, again, we're encouraging every single listener one way or another to get the Bible, because it's a wonderful evangelism tool for you to use, both actually for youth and for they can be given to adults as well. Hope you'll get involved. Our phone guest today is Dr. Michael Brown. He's the author of the book, Jezebel's War with America, The Plot to Destroy Our Country and What We Can Do to Turn the Tide. Dr. Brown, as we begin this segment, I want to just specifically ask this question. Do you feel like the average believer understands even the very basics of what spiritual warfare is and the fact that we deal with it daily? To what extent do you think your average believer really understands what spiritual warfare is?
I think they understand that there's a real devil, that there are demonic forces at work beyond just what we see with our eyes, but I don't think they're active. I don't think they really understand what it means to engage in spiritual warfare. I think the average believer knows, there's got to be more going on, and the devil wants to destroy us. But how do we then live? How do we then pray? Where does fasting come into place? Where does the Word of God come into place? What does it mean to put on the armor of God? How should we be thinking and acting in light of the battle that we're in? So honestly, while we're aware that there's a devil, I don't think most average believers, if you say, so the bulk of believers in America are really engaging in spiritual warfare or understanding what the stakes really are.
And, you know, it's such a serious reality, yet it's sad to think that too many really aren't on the battlefield. They're really too often on the sidelines and seeing the problems, but not really engaged, and that's tragic. So, again, a book like yours, of course, is a wonderful tool to pull people out of their slumber, to get out on the field and get into the game, to be a part of the team out there doing the work. So, well, would you say, Dr. Brown, too, is it possible to defeat the enemy with practical tools? Would you say so?
Right. So if we mean practical spiritual tools, yes. Okay. In other words, we can't fight demonic powers with natural solutions alone. So when we look around at our country, when we look around at family life, there are a lot of practical things we can do that are helpful. But when we recognize that we're ultimately dealing with demonic forces, that we refer to as Jezebel, we put under that heading. Then you can only fight spirit with spirit. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are practical spiritual things that we can do. The last two chapters of the book are there just to equip. So the second to last chapter deals with how to defeat Jezebel in your personal life. And then the last chapter, how we can defeat Jezebel on a national level. So there are practical spiritual steps we can take. Look, spiritual warfare is not just abstract, running around your room, yelling and screaming, jumping up and down, swinging at the air. Spiritual warfare is real and clear, and just like in a real war, there's strategy, and in a real war, you have order and organization. There are practical things that we can do. There are steps that we can take, and they're proven through Scripture. They're proven through history. And Joseph, in Jezebel's War with America, I even tell some stories in my own life where over these decades in ministry, I've encountered what I knew was Jezebel. In other words, I came, and you could say, hand-to-hand spiritual conflict with this demonic stronghold. And sometimes the attack was over a period of months, and it was some of the worst time in my life spiritually. And the battle so intense. But Jesus is Lord. Satan is defeated. In Jesus, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are overcomers. In Jesus, rather than bowing down to a spirit of fear, we overcome by faith. But when you mention so many believers on the sidelines, the real problem is we may be on the sidelines as far as our fighting, but we're not on the sidelines as far as Satan is concerned. He's after us, whether we're right in the center of the battle or on the sidelines. We can't sit this out.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Dr. Brown, it appears that, like, for example, lots and lots of churches have Bible Wednesday night Bible study, and that's great. That's wonderful. And, of course, obviously Sunday morning worship service. But would it be true to say that many times they're scratching the surface of truths behind spiritual warfare when they really need to be digging down deep and equipping believers to be real warriors? Would you say that would be accurate to say?
Yes, I'm in agreement with you once again. Obviously, we would be praying together more if we recognize the nature of spiritual warfare. We would be equipping people for battle even more. A lot of our teaching in churches is kind of self-help type stuff with Scripture added in. And thank God for the many fine pastors and churches and leaders. But I don't think your average congregant has the mentality, I'm in the army or I'm in military service, spiritually speaking. Mm-hmm. Because those who served in the military, I never did, but both my parents did. Those who served in the military, as many of my friends have, know that there's discipline involved, that there's order involved, that there's strategy involved, that there's a certain sacrifice involved, that you are engaged with a deadly foe. And I think if we had that attitude, look, even the attitude of an athlete, we're called to have the attitude of an athlete. Mm-hmm. You think of someone that's in training, say the NFL, and they know they're putting their body on the line every week and they have to be in tip-top shape or their team's not going to win, etc. And we're called to live like that. We're called to be soldiers and to endure hardship as soldiers. Paul references some of his fellow workers as fellow soldiers. Sometimes when I sign copies of Jezebel's War with America, if I'm sending it to a friend, I'll say to my fellow soldier, if we had that mentality, boy, we would live our lives differently, and we would conduct our church lives differently as well.
Hmm. You know, that's such a powerful and a huge topic all by itself, isn't it? Because, again, you have many believers, and actually, you just touched on this, many leaders that don't quite have the grasp of the fact that we're needing to equip our congregants to be warriors on the front line. And many times, I think too often you have believers that they're just trying to, a survival mentality, help me get through this week. And that's what their mindset is. But the need for believers to understand that we're to be prayer warriors, we're to be bold in the way we hear the word and obey it as well. So, well, I want to ask if you'll take time specifically now to pray for leaders in the body of Christ to grow in their understanding of the need to really grasp the truths, and you alluded to it. Ephesians 6, again, is talking about warfare from that verses 10 to 20. It's talking strictly about the reality of the warfare and the equipment and the weaponry that God provides for us. But it's there, but we have to learn to take it and put it to use. Would you pray for the leadership of the church to grasp the need to really equip the church this way?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we come to you not just as our Father, but as a man of war, as our ultimate general and commander-in-chief. And we pray, Lord, for a stirring in the hearts of those you've appointed to serve as leaders in the body. We pray, O God, for a spirit of courage to rise. Lord, I believe many have been cut down by Jezebel. They've been emasculated, either because of sin in their own lives and they feel guilt and shame, or because they've been intimidated by fear and they're not willing to speak up, or they've been worn out by the controversy of the world, or they've been hurt by splits in their own church. Whatever it is, God, they've lost that sense of authority. Lord, they've lost that sense of holy confidence. They don't run to the battle, they run from the battle. I pray, God, that they would see the evil that's taking place, that they would see demonic forces as if they're coming to snatch the sheep from the flock and destroy them. And something would rise up, that calling of a shepherd, that would say, not on my watch, that would face down Jezebel and say, you're not going to destroy the people that God has put under my charge. Lord, some of them have been fighting, but they're wounded, they're worn out, they're discouraged. May they experience spiritual renewal. May they experience a fresh encounter with you. And out of that, may the spirit of a warrior rise up within them, I pray, O God, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Praise God. I want to ask you, Dr. Brown, I want to share a quote from a minister, and I want you to comment on it, but I thought it was powerful. His quote was, "Too many believers go out on the battlefield with rocks and sticks when the enemy comes with bombs, machine guns, and tanks. The church needs the atom bomb of the Word of God and prayer to be put forth aggressively." Would you comment on that quote?
Yes, he's absolutely right. First, we look at things just in the natural. For example, pornography and sexual immorality. Okay, terrible, ugly, destructive, we understand it. But do we understand demonic forces that accompany these things to seduce and to bring into bondage and to destroy? Do we understand that the enemy is playing for keeps, that he wants to destroy marriages, that he wants to destroy ministries, that he wants to destroy individuals, that he wants to destroy a country? And my best ideas won't defeat Satan. My smartest words won't defeat Satan. We must have the Word of God. Jesus, when he comes into face-to-face conflict with Satan during his time of 40 days in the wilderness, he fights Satan how? With the Word of God. Jesus, the Son of God, quotes Scripture. So we've got to put on the armor of God. Mm-hmm. We've got to use the spiritual weapons that God gave us. Otherwise, again, it's just like punching the air, and we cannot defeat spiritual forces with natural wisdom and natural power. And we've got to realize these are formidable foes. Many lives have been destroyed. At one moment during his life, I mentioned even the mighty Elijah ran from Jezebel. Mm-hmm. There are intimidating spiritual forces, and unless we are clothed with God's weapons, we won't win. Conversely, clothed with God's weapons will win every time.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, I think of this, too, that, you know, in the book of Joshua chapter 1, I recently read, it was a blog about this, that the blog said that Joshua chapter 1, obviously, it was God was commissioning Joshua to take leadership, to take Israel, to go and to conquer the promised land. But this blog said that just as much applies to the church continually, the message of Joshua 1, that we're called to be bold and that we're called to be obedient to the Word. Any thoughts about that?
Yes, and something fascinating about Joshua 1 is that four times God tells him, don't fear. Four times God tells him and the people tell him. And we think of Joshua, we think of him as being very courageous, mm-hmm. but maybe after watching his generation 40 years die in the wilderness, maybe he wasn't as courageous as he used to be, and maybe without Moses there, He wasn't as courageous. Mm-hmm. But in order to take the land, what's he told over and over? Don't fear, don't fear, don't fear, don't fear. What's one of Jezebel's greatest tactics? Fear. So mm-hmm. we must always have the mentality of conquering. I don't mean people. I don't mean in the natural. Mm-hmm. I don't mean imposing our ways through a religious war on society. No, God forbid. But spiritually, we have to be taking land. We're always on the defensive. We're always trying to, you know, don't let the devil win here and there, as opposed to, no, we should be transforming the culture through the gospel. We should be impacting our communities through the gospel. Wherever we live, we should be taking ground, making progress, making a difference. That's what the gospel does. The Great Commission is Jesus basically saying to his disciples, go and let's change the world together. Mm-hmm. But unless we overcome fear, we'll never be able to do it.
And, you know, again, that there's so much you said just there to think of this, that, again, all of us need to aggressively hear the word and aggressively be courageous and aggressively actually just be bold, because that's just required. So we're coming up on a break again. Our phone guest is Dr. Michael Brown, the author of Jezebel's War with America. We'll be right back. Music of Dunson Oyeka and the song Yahweh. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Dr. Michael Brown. He's the author of the book Jezebel's War with America, The Plot to Destroy Our Country and What We Can Do to Turn the Tide. Dr. Brown, would you share with our listeners, if they want to get the book, how can they get the book from you?
The easiest thing is just go to JezebelsWarWithAmerica.com. JezebelsWarWithAmerica.com. They'll have all their ordering options there. If you go to Amazon, the books have been flying off the shelf, and it says shipping in 1 to 2 months. Ignore that. The books are coming in and going out all the time. But JezebelsWarWithAmerica.com will link you to Amazon or Christian Book, all the places to order. It should be in your local bookstores as well.
Okay. Thank you, then. Would you, in this last segment, Dr. Brown, share with our listeners the critical place of prayer and intercession in the life of individual believers and the life of the church as well?
The last 5 years of Leonard Ravenhill's life, we became very close friends. Leonard Ravenhill died in 1994 at the age of 87, and many of the older readers will remember his classic book, Why Revival Tarries, or Revival Praying. And Leonard Ravenhill often said, no man is greater than his prayer life. And he felt the same about a church. No church was greater than its prayer meetings. And you could do all the outward things well. You could preach well, teach well, sing well, lead well, do lots of things well. But if you weren't really grounding everything in prayer, it was not going to accomplish God's purposes. It's interesting that in Luke, the 11th chapter, the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. Now think of that. They may have asked him other things to teach them, but It's never recorded that they said, teach us to preach, or teach us to teach, or teach us to heal, or teach us to deliver. But it is recorded that they said, teach us to pray. And we see in the life of Jesus, this again, the Son of God, that he's often separating himself to prayer. He's getting up early in the morning and praying. He's praying all night. After ministering to the large crowds, he pulls away to get alone and be with his Father. Ultimately, this determines who we are. Being with God, being in God's presence, doing ministry at the throne of God is more effective than anything else that we can do. And I believe it was S.D. Gordon who said that prayer is striking the winning blow. Service is gathering up the results. That's why in Jezebel's War with America, when I deal with how to defeat Jezebel on a national level, the call to prayer is right up at the top of this, because we can look at all the sociological problems in America, and there are many. And we could look at issues of injustice in society, and we could look at opioid addiction, and we could look at sex trafficking, and we could look at all the things we've mentioned already that we cover in Jezebel's War with America. We can analyze these things and the political issues and the political strife, and these are all real issues. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, what's behind it is spiritual. It's like when you go to a doctor and you tell them you've got 10 different symptoms in your body, goes, oh, that's this particular disease, and it can be combated with this particular drug. If you fight the symptoms, nothing will happen. But you get to the root of it, it can be treated. It's the same thing here. The root of our national problems is spiritual. Mm-hmm. The root of our national issue is lack of relationship with God, lack of consciousness with God. And even in America, although the Church of America is a very generous church and an outgoing church and does so much good, the Church of America is not a strongly praying church. And without being a praying church, we will not be able to accomplish great spiritual victories.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, in relation to that, too, why would you say it's so critical that we pray for the president and pray for leaders in government as well?
Yeah, well, the president is a tremendously influential man, for good or for bad. The president can raise consciousness in a nation. The president can turn a nation in a right direction or a wrong direction. The leaders in our nation make massive decisions that have an impact for generations to come. Laws are passed that affect the lives of the unborn. Laws are passed that affect what your kids are taught in schools. Laws are passed that are going to legalize certain things or make other things illegal. There's our relationship with the rest of the nations of the world. In many ways, as America goes, the world goes. I mean, it's so interesting that in recent days, protesters in Hong Kong fighting against the tyranny of communist China mm-hmm. are carrying American flags and singing the national anthem because they look to America as a beacon of liberty. So along with that, the devil understands all this. I can't imagine the pressure that whoever is in the White House, the pressure that that man and his family are under, the demonic attack to really keep a massive swamp in D.C. so that nothing effective is done. And it's imperative that we pray. We're commanded to in Scripture, 1 Timothy 2, we're commanded to pray for kings, those in authority. So certainly for elected officials, we're commanded to pray. But we understand that God can turn the heart of the king. And that if we will really pray, it's easy to complain, Joseph. It's easy for us to say this one's bad and this one's wrong. But it's harder to pray. Easy to gossip, easy to badmouth, easy to say what's wrong. It's even easier to vote than to pray. But prayer is where the battle is won. And if we would give ourselves to prayer, regardless of who we vote for, who gets in or who doesn't get in, if we will give ourselves to prayer, hearts can change, and God can turn something that was going in a very wrong direction and turn it around for good.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Brown, I want to ask you this time, would you pray for the prayer lives of the listeners today, but also pray for the prayer life of the Church of Jesus Christ?
Yes, sir, with joy. Father, I pray for everyone listening, this precious listening audience, Lord. Listeners to this show in particular have a heart of prayer, but Lord, so few of us do. Lord, I confess that for me, for many of us, we get so busy, we get so distracted. The things of this world pull at us. And Lord, it's so much easier for us to do other things than to get alone with you and focus in prayer. But Lord, is there any greater delight than meeting with you? Is there any greater delight than communing with you? Is there any better use of our time than interceding at your throne? So I pray for an awakening of the prayer lives of your people, oh God. Some used to have vibrant prayer lives and they're a shell of who they used to be. Some have never really been people of prayer. God, bring us to that place of holy desperation. Bring us to that place of holy yearning. Bring us to that place, God, that more than anything else in this world, we want to be with you. Bring us to this place where we recognize we must be with
you.
And Lord, as I've been in nations in Korea that have such strong prayer traditions with thousands coming to pray at 4:30 in the morning or 6 in the morning and praying through the night, I pray, oh God, that there'd be an awakening of the prayer lives of churches, not just a house of prayer here and there with this 24-hour prayer, but that our sanctuaries will be filled with people praying, that before services there'll be prayer, that there'll be prayer through the night, that there'll be prayer early morning, that there'll be prayer in the homes. Lord, make the Church of America a praying church. And Lord, don't let it be that we're in the midst of a world war and people are dying and we finally pray. Lord, may we awaken to pray now before calamity comes. Lord, put that in our hearts and sustain it, I pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Brown. And I want to ask, our time is almost, we have just a few more minutes, though, but if you'll touch on this, and I'm just come out and mention specifically a particular denomination, the Church of God in Christ, has in recent years started a major initiative to address the life issue. And from my perspective, that is so encouraging. And I believe that's something every denominational family should do, because we think of this, one of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not murder. That's plain and clear. Yet you have many people within the church that are quick to let it be known that they are pro-choice. Would you comment on that?
Yeah, it's a tragic thing. And to me, again, spirit of Jezebel, if you watch a denomination go liberal, they get away from the clear authority of Scripture, they get away from the clear teaching of the Word, you'll see them shift. They go from pro-marriage to pro-homosexual activism. You'll see them go from pro-life to pro-abortion, and then you'll see them go from pro-Israel to so pro-Palestinian that they become anti-Israel. You watch it happen, and you recognize there's been a spiritual shift. And abortion is not just an attack on the babies. Abortion is an attack on the mothers, and even on the fathers, and it is something that brings a larger devaluing of life to the whole culture. God says, choose life, that you and your children may live. Obedience to God means life. So these are massive cultural choices. And again, in Jezebel's War with America, some of the most disturbing materials when I parallel how in the ancient world babies were sacrificed to idols. And now we look at partial birth abortion and late-term abortion. We must expose the evil of it so that we can recover a culture of life. And the church must lead the way. It is the ultimate tragedy when the church goes in the way of death.
That's right. That's right. Share with our listeners once again, if they want to get the book, how they can get it.
Should be at local bookstores, but otherwise go to Jezebel's War with America. So there's no apostrophe. Jezebel'sWarWithAmerica.com. There are options there. If you used to order on Amazon, go ahead and order there. Ignore the shipping dates because the books are coming in and going right out. Jezebel'sWarWithAmerica.com.
Amen. And Dr. Brown, would you take a moment specifically to pray for the church as it relates to rising up and boldly standing for life and choosing life and seeing the need? Pray for the church in that regard, would you please?
Yes, sir. Father, you told us to rescue those perishing, to stop those who are headed to slaughter. Your son told us, Lord, that it would be better for someone to have a millstone put around his neck and cast into the sea than hurt one of these little ones. I pray, oh God, for an awakening in the church, for recognition of the horrible evil of abortion and the horrible evil of choosing death. Make it vivid, make it clear, May we see that this is a Jezebelic, destructive, baby-killing spirit.
Yes.
And may this become something in every believing church in America, that every believing church in America is active
in
the life movement. Every church in America is active, be it with adoption, be it pushing back against abortion, one way or another, that every believing church in America takes a stand, and that courageous leaders lifting up Jesus, not getting political, but lifting up Jesus would lead the way. May a spirit of faith and boldness rise up to take Jezebel down in Jesus' name.
Amen. And we have about 60 seconds left, but any word of encouragement you want to give to individual leaders as it relates to the need for us to just start with ourselves and our own walk with the Lord.
Look, in 2 Kings 9, Jehu has a confrontation with Jezebel, and she's up in a window a few floors up, and he says, "Who's on my side?" And it says two or three eunuchs with her, castrated males, and they throw her down and she dies. Again, we're talking spiritually here, but the castrated males, the leaders who've lost their authority, who've lost their sense of anointing, who've lost their confidence, who've been cowering, the castrated males must stand up afresh and be renewed in God, and they are the ones who will take Jezebel down. That's the husbands in the homes, that's the pastors behind the pulpits, that's leaders of every kind, male and female. As they regain their authority, they will see Jezebel fall.
That's a powerful picture from Scripture, so thank you for sharing that. One more time, if a listener wants to get the book, how can they get the book, Jezebel's War with America, The Plot to Destroy Our Country, and What We Can Do to Turn the Tide Around? How can they get the book again?
Yeah, folks, get it today, jezebelswarwithamerica.com. You have your ordering options there, and I assure you, this book will be riveting reading, and it'll change your life.
Dr. Brown, thank you so much for being with us today, and thank you for letting the Lord use you to write this book. We do appreciate it.
And thank you for leading the way in prayer, sir.
All righty. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. As always, we appreciate your listening. Hope that you'll be sure and get the book again, Jezebel's War with America, The Plot to Destroy Our Country, and What We Can Do to Turn the Tide. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.